It's all pointed at Jesus, and that's where I believe it should always be and always is. And this morning's going to be just as much as ever. We're going to go through, 15, 20 scriptures, different things that God has given to be able to point us in the right direction and keep us focused on the Almighty God and on His Son and our Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus of Nazareth. That name is a powerful name, and that's actually part of what we're going to talk about this morning. But as I do, a lot of times I put a scripture up to kind of get us leading in the right direction. And this one, you think, man, what does this have to do with Christmas? But it says that, if you remember the story of the woman at the well, okay, and Jesus goes and he talks with her and he tells her things about her life. And he says, if you would, draw out for me, I'll give you the living water. After she leaves there, she goes and starts telling everybody what just happened. She goes and begins an evangelistic crusade to say, the Christ is here, I just met him. And this is the conversation that happens with the people that she encounters. And there's something in this I want you to see. They said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we heard him for ourselves. And now we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And what I want to point out in that is that you can share the gospel. We do it. We tell people about Jesus. But it really comes down to a personal encounter with Christ for themselves. And that can happen. And the Holy Spirit obviously engages this. And we pray and the Holy Spirit is at work in people's lives. But you have to know that it's not because of just our saying. It's because they have heard him for themselves, or they encountered Jesus for themselves. And that's what I believe you're going to get if you don't. Wherever you're at in your walk with God, you will feel an encounter with Jesus even this morning, because that is who life is about. I mean, not just for me as a pastor, but it's a Christian thing. Okay, we are Christians, right? We follow after him and believe and trust in him. And that's where everything that we live and breathe should be coming from and going to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So today, as we think about Christmas and the birth of our Savior and those kind of things, keep that focus, knowing that it's about a personal experience, a personal encounter that you will have with him, even during this service. Even as we go through scriptures and read of God's word, it will begin to penetrate your heart even more and more and more. So I encourage you to join in this morning. We've got my son Elijah's going to come up if you want right now. And yesterday they had their, I guess they call it a winter concert. Both my sons are playing piano, and they have an instructor. Our instructor's in Elk Mountain, a wonderful teacher, over there, Dawn Kennedy, right? Kennedy. Anyway, she's a wonderful instructor and has raised the boys up very well at learning piano. And so from that, we had a concert yesterday. Well, they canceled our part of it, at least, because of the roads and the storm came up and stuff. So these guys weren't able to play. So I said, you know what? Let's incorporate that in, because they've been practicing so hard and I see what they do. I mean, every day I hear these songs at home. But I just think you'll be duly blessed to be able to engage with it. So you have a couple of songs and you want to turn them up for us? Thank you. Amen. He did bow. Amen and amen. Amen. As I said, a little bit different flow this morning, you'll notice, from what we normally do, but we're going to do some of the announcements and kind of tell you things that are going on before the worship team comes up this morning. And I think the first thing we have is Bible study on Wednesday nights. I'm still partaking of fellowship with one another and gathering together. I really want to encourage you. This last week, some of you that were there, obviously you'll know, but the rest, so that you kind of know how important it is. And that's exactly what we talked about, is the Christian fellowship and that koinonia, that Holy Spirit-infused fellowship that can only take place when the body of Christ gathers together in one place and studies God's Word. Okay, it's part of getting together and letting the Word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, letting that do what it does in your life by partaking of it together. And not only that, but as we do that, that koinonia is a Holy Spirit-infused fellowship. It is something special and unique, and it takes us beyond our regular study. I mean, I study, obviously, every day. I know a lot of you guys do, too. But that time when you get together is something where that iron can sharpen iron. It's time when the needs are shared, you know, pray for one another and laying hands on each other or helping each other. And, you know, we even talked about some of the times and the opportunities that happen in a group that begins to bond like that, what happens in their life. When they have a need, they hardly even have to ask. Sometimes they might, but a lot of times as people are like, what's going on today? You know, something doesn't seem right, or what can we pray for you about, or whatever it is. And that group has that bond that you begin to take care of one another's needs. Okay, and that is, we get that on Sunday mornings. I know that to a certain extent, but you won't get it like you do in a smaller group or as the groups gather together and be able to fellowship. So really want to encourage you for Bible study on Wednesdays at 7. What else we got? Mops. Mother's a preschooler, still meeting one more time this year, I guess, as the year winds down. So that's this Thursday, right? I'm always looking at the leader. So encourage people to come out to that again, a place where people can grow and prosper in that. So.
Saturday is paint class for the older kids, too.
At 10. On the 30th. On the 30th, Saturday the 30th. So that would be a great opportunity, too, to invite somebody and be able to bring people. Is Colin back by then? Probably not, huh?
I'm
going to
try to stick to, like, less than 10 for our first time.
Okay.
So, yeah.
As far as the age group or the size of the group? Oh, the size, I was going to say. Okay. Amen. So that is Saturday the 10th. I didn't have a slide for that in there, but that's a good reminder. We do need to keep that involved. Just a time, again, for even the young people to be able to get together in fellowship. And as more begin to come on Wednesdays, we'll begin that as a dual meeting, okay, where the young people can have their fellowship at the same time. So what else we got? Okay, give you an opportunity to sow into the kingdom of God. Most of you know this scripture by heart. Even people that don't know Jesus will use this scripture. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the reason I use this, you think, well, that's a funny scripture for the offering, but God so loved the world that he gave. Okay, and he set that example for us. And I believe that as we so love one another, and we, you know, some people love the ministry or helping and wanting to see the gospel go forward, that it's an opportunity then for us to be able to sow in. And I'd encourage you to do that. It's, you know, churches like this, it's a small church, and as we function, you know, there's so many bills that we have just to keep the lights on in the building and the doors open and that kind of stuff. Even as time goes on, it has shifted some. Sometimes it seems like there's more than enough coming in, and other times it seems like there's just not enough. And right now, I'll just be honest with you, we're at that not enough point, okay, where what comes in on a regular basis is not enough to support the ministry. And so part of that, you know, some that we're giving kind of stop giving. People have, you know, come and gone. Maybe they moved away or different reasons. And so it just kind of comes and goes. And but right now, just being honest, okay, it's your church, not mine. So it's just a matter of letting you know where we're at. So continue to give. Look for those opportunities. Every bit, every dollar that comes in is used for a good cause, and it's for glorifying the Almighty God. So, well, praise God for that. Let's see. You guys want, the young guys want to come again? Bennett and Clara? Amen. God bless the offering in Jesus' name. We'll pray real quick. That's all right. We'll pray quick. Amen. Father God, I thank you again for these young people, Lord. Every time that people come forward and volunteer, Lord, I love to pray for them. And Lord, I love to see you encourage them and bless them in their endeavor, Lord, that you'll use this as a time in their life where that giving and serving, Lord, is ingrained into them, Lord, that they'll continue it for an entire life. Lord, we love you, praise you. Thank you for the opportunity to sow into your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. I haven't got to that usher training yet. I need to do that. Amen. And actually, as the worship team comes up, we do have, I'm going to have my son, probably Elijah, if you'll help me hand out. We have some gifts that we wanted to give out this morning, too. I don't know when else to do it. This seems like as good a time as any, so.
Sit back down.
They're kind of big enough. Amen. And I'm gonna spoil it just for some of you on what you just got in your hand there. Can I tell you what's in your package? Some of you got books, obviously, and other things. But as you open it up, if you got a video, know that that is one of the most precious videos I have ever seen in my life. And it's, of course, the same title as today's message, but it's just on Jesus. It is a rendition of the book of Matthew that is probably one of the most well put together or well characterized renditions of a book I've ever seen. When it comes to Jesus, he is not pointing down his finger at people. He's not making people feel like a loser. He's a really sweet, sweet guy, and he's helping people and living out his calling in God. And it gives you a different picture of Jesus. And I promise you, if you watch it all the way to the end, okay, and you see the very end, if it doesn't choke you up and bring you to your tears, I don't know what will. But it's just a powerful message. And of course, if you watch it with a friend or someone else, they too will be blessed. And the evangelism is there, and it's literally Jesus calling out to your heart. So pray you're blessed by that. Something that we felt like we wanted to be able to share that. It's something that we try to watch on a regular basis as a family, and just pray you're blessed by that. So, amen.
Let's worship.
Amen. Okay.
Father, it's just a glorious, glorious time to be able to come to you with worship and adoration, to be able to magnify you in our souls, Lord. You're already alive in our spirits and full of joy, but we're going to magnify you this morning with our souls. We're going to make you big, Father, and we're going to believe for big things, Father, that we just press into your presence, Father. We just welcome you here in this place, Father, to do what you will with each one of our hearts, Lord, to lead and guide us, and just to show us how much you love us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Okay, people of God, let's praise Almighty King. If you might not notice, we have a new member. Has anybody ever? This is pretty spiffy, don't you think? He broke out of his sneakers. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing.
Worship and bow down. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come ye, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him.
Five songs this morning, so don't all sit down too quickly when we finish the fourth one.
Good news of great joy. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
For every woman and every man, this will be assigned to you, a baby born in Bethlehem. Come and worship, do not be afraid. A company of angels, in the highest, and on the earth peace among those on whom His favor rests. Come and worship, do not be afraid. My soul, my soul. on. Unto us the Son is given. Let every heart prepare his throne in every nation under heaven. Come and worship, do not be afraid. My soul, magnifies the Lord. My soul, magnifies the Lord. He has done great things for me, great things for me. My soul, magnifies the Lord. My soul, magnifies the Lord. He has done great things for me, great things for me. And by the servants, there will be no one who is part of the soul. With his righteousness, and he shall be on David's throne, and his name shall be from this day on wonderful.
This world will grow strangely dim to those that love Jesus. And we love this song so much because this glorifies him and his kingliness, I guess, lordship, because he will reign forevermore. And there will be there's nothing stopping him. He's put death under his feet. He's put his heart into his people, and he will reign forevermore.
In the bleak midwinter, all creation groans. For a world in darkness, frozen like a stone, light is breaking in a stable for a throne.
And he
Jesus. Hallelujah.
praise you, Jesus. Give you the praise and the glory. Pour down from heaven above, Lord. Hallelujah. Fill your house, Lord. Fill your house, Lord. Our Father will reign. Jesus will reign. No matter what the situation looks like, no matter what the storms of life has brought to you, He can make those storms calm again. He is the Great One, the Messiah, the Lord above all, the King of kings. There is none greater. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Father God. Hallowed be thy name. Lord, today we exalt you. We exalt Jesus, the Son of God. We esteem him highly above all else in our life, Lord. We know where our help comes from. We know where our hope comes from. We know where our faith comes from. Lord, we're pressing into you this morning, praying that you are lifted high above all else, and there will be nothing that will stand in our life that is above you. You are precious, as we know that we are precious in your eyes. We know that you have given your life for us, as you were born for a purpose, to live the life that we could not live, to present it unto us, to offer it to any who would call upon your name. Lord, this morning we exalt you, praise you, worship you, adore you. Thank you. Hallowed be thy name, Lord. Hallowed be thy name. You are above, Lord. You are the King. You are the power. You are the glory. All that we need is in you, Lord. All that we need is in you. Hallelujah. Lord, as we go forth this morning, I pray that we unite in spirit. Father, as we continue to worship you through your word and, Father, glorifying your name. We remember all that you've done for us. Let you be exalted above all, Father. May we leave here different than we came in, Lord. With you esteemed highly in our hearts, higher than before, higher than ever for some, Lord. Those that are hungry for it, those that desire it, He will give. He will take you beyond your dreams. He will take you beyond where you've been before. He will take you higher. He will take you deeper. Glory to your name, Lord God. Worship you and praise you. Exalt you. Worship you. Hallelujah. Father, your power is great in this room, Lord. And I pray your power for healing in the hearts and the minds of the people here today, Lord, is taking your place, is taking place in you, Father. Let people reach out to you, Father, with their heart. I know that you will fill those that are hungry. I know that you will quench the thirst of those that are thirsty. And Lord, I pray that you stir that up within us. Let us be more hungry. Let us be more thirsty for you, knowing that you are the one that satisfies. Hallowed be thy name, Lord. Hallowed be thy name. Glory to the King of kings, Son of God, Most High. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Lead us and guide us, Lord, this morning. Your power and your presence came in with us, Lord. We're rejoicing in you. We're praising you. We're exalting you together as the body of Christ. And it is in Jesus' name that we say, Amen. Praise you, Lord. Hallowed be thy name. Praise God. I think for the next step is for Clara and Bennett to come up. Amen. You guys want a mic? Want this one?
Is it on? I can just hold it for him.
Maybe. Jeff didn't want that falling off of there. Sounds like it's still hot. Got more scripture memorized than quite a few people in here, probably. Praise God. That's a good example. Amen. Keep that word in your heart your entire life. Not stray from it. God will use that throughout your life. Amen. Praise God. We are going to, let's see. Clay, you want to come up? And Scott, maybe come up. We're going to partake of communion. A good usher, get the dump truck out of the way. Amen. Amen. I'll give these to you guys. We're grateful to be able to do things like this. Jesus said there's a few things to do in remembrance of him, and this is specifically one of those things he said to do in remembrance of him. So we're going to partake of communion together. I think I'll wait if you guys want to go ahead and disperse that, and then I suppose I better start. I'll just warn you right now, my 12-year-old played a joke on a few people and wedged them in there, so when you go to pull them out, be very careful. Okay. Didn't get me on that one. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I know. I don't think it was on purpose. I'm sure it wasn't. Okay, you got one. Amen. Amen and amen. I think we got everybody, so we can probably put it down there. Be one for you. Hey man, there's a, if you want to just take a moment and just think of some of the things that the Lord has done. You know, it's one of the songs that we sang, I think, had a very perfect line that just says, He has done great things for us. He has done great things for us. And that is so true when we think of, I don't know about you guys, I have a testimony that God has brought me out of the miry clay. God brought me out of addictions and things that were just taking me 100% in the wrong direction. And some of you know, I mean, I don't want to go too far with it all, but you know that testimony of even going to the point of ordering a satanic Bible. Okay, that was the direction I was at, or where I was at in life. I wanted to go that direction. I knew there was a power, and I knew that it seemed so enticing. And I think that He is to this day continues to entice people in a similar fashion. It may not be exactly my testimony or my story, but the devil loves to lead people astray. But the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all for that straying that we have done. He has said that this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Believe thou on Him. Okay, put your faith and your trust in Him as your Lord and your Savior. And that's as simple as that, that He is our Lord and our God simply by our faith in Him. And He is even the author and the finisher of that faith. He wants to make it easy for you. Okay, but today, let's remember a few of the things that He has done. Hey, if He has got you here this morning, you're safe and sound. I know I drove in my snowplow this morning and slipping and sliding all over the road and, you know, 17 miles of the interstate. And it was, you know, white-knuckle driving, but it was just trusting in the Lord. Okay, and believing that He is with me. Hey, I know that He's got me. I know He's got me in His hand. And I know that many of you can say that this morning as well, that God has got you in His hand. And He's taking care of you. He's providing for you, helping you to get things done that need to be done in your life and keeping you together, okay, holding you together at that moment when you need it most. So let's remember a few of the things that He has done. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, it says, For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, Take and eat, this is my body, which was broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. Then in verse 25 it says that after the same manner also He took the cup, and when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show or proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Remind yourself this morning with all the things that you're thinking about, with all the things that the Lord has done up to this point. Never lose sight that He is not done yet. Okay, He is still to return, and these things we do to proclaim His death and resurrection until He comes again, okay, to claim us as His bride. Okay, that day is yet to come, and we are looking forward to it. It is a hope in the salvation of our God. That is what He has given unto us. Father God, we praise You this morning. We're grateful to be here in Your presence, grateful to be walking with You and fellowshipping with You, and Lord, grateful for all the things that You have done. You've led us, Father, each and every one, from some sort of miry clay. You've led us out, Father, from the grasp and the clutches of the enemy and put us safely into Your hand, Father. We are so grateful. Thank You for the blood that You shed for us. Thank You for adorning us with Your love and grace upon us, that favor that allows us to live this life that You have called us to, Lord. We're looking forward to all that You've done and thanking You for all You've done and looking forward to all You continue to do, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Amen. As we go forward this morning, I just want to share a message with you, something that God had laid on my heart a while back about the names of Jesus and some of the things, the name of Jesus in particular. And sometimes we think of that, we think it's just the J-E-S-U-S, but it's so much more than that. When we're asked, or many of you I could ask, and I'm sure many of you would say, yes, I've prayed and said in Jesus' name at the end of a prayer, or you've asked for something in His name. And this is that a message that I think that will help to elaborate on what that means and all the great things that He has done in our life. Let's start by opening up with a prayer this morning. Father God, we're grateful again to be here in Your presence, gathered with Your people, Lord. We're here because of You, focused on You and learning of You, worshiping You, adoring You, thanking You and praising and exalting You, Lord. And I pray that right here and now, that through Your Word, that You will penetrate our hearts, that You will speak to us really deeply in a real way, Lord, that we can connect with in a way that speaks to our heart. That we're not here for no reason, but we're here because of You, and we want to learn and grow in You, Father. We're grateful for Your Word. Pray You quicken it, make it alive for us, and help it to penetrate deeply into our hearts, Lord, as we press into You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I titled it just simply Jesus, as something to keep us on that right track so that everything that we do in life we know is centered around the Son. It's centered around Jesus. You know, names have such a powerful place in our society today. Even today, a name carries something with it. Someone told me years ago and gave me a plaque on it that says the name Gary, and for instance, means man of loyalty and man of war. Okay, and I've always felt that inside, that it means that I will fight to the death for something that I believe in. And you can ask, you know, my family or people that have known me, that's kind of my personality. It's that defender, that protector, that one that's always trying to think ahead and being loyal to the people that are close to me and those that I know that I'm supposed to be helping to guide and protect as far as the church. And they say that even what people call you or what you call yourself has a profound influence on your life, even to the point that if I say a name like Rockefeller, okay, or I say a name like Trump, okay, or Clinton, or Stallone. Anybody got any Stallone fans? Or you say a name like Hitler or some name that is like that. There's different things that come to mind when you think of that name. Okay, it tends to be maybe not just that one person, but maybe a family like Rockefeller or Clinton. It tends to bring forth more than just that one person. But it immediately brings to mind a general consensus of what that person is or was about. Okay, something about that life. Okay, experts today have declared that there is mounting evidence that a name can influence everything from your grades in school to your career choice and to who you marry and where you live. Okay, they've done all these studies, and I looked at this study that was done on it that showed all the different locations and places where people live and all the jobs that people would take and you know, somebody's last name was Speaker. Well, they ended up being the Speaker of the House. And somebody's name was last name was Driver. And so sure enough, they ended up driving for NASCAR. I mean, it was just, it went through, and some of it was comical, but some of it was real. And it's like, wow, they have done all these studies that say that certain names would help you to be because of the way that you see yourself, because of what you call yourself all the time, then you begin to present yourself in that way. I don't know if you guys know this. I got to tell on Margie a little bit, but Margie means a pearl of great price, a rare pearl. Okay, that's what that means. So as people call you by that name, it tends to mean something. I encourage you to look up, you know, what does my name mean in the Bible? And there's probably a biblical reference to just about every name in here in one way or another. Of course, the name Gary isn't in there, but there's lots of them that were similar, and that's how they come up with what your name literally means. Okay, so today being the eve of the event that is known around the world as Christmas, right? It's the eve of that event. We celebrate the birth of the Son of God, the birth of the Christ, the Messiah that was sent into the world. Okay, it'll serve us well to recall the name of Jesus. Okay, remind ourselves of some of the other names as well that he was referred to. You guys sang, I think, Wonderful Counselor. You guys went through and named some of the other ones that he is. I didn't even touch on those because there's so many different ones. It would just take a long time to get through them all. But some of these references are used, most of them are used repeatedly in the scriptures when it comes to like Savior or Messiah or Christ or those kinds of things. The name of Jesus is so powerful that it can literally, I've said before, I was driving a truck that began to tip over and went up onto two wheels, all I could get out of my mouth was Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And the guy next to me was doing the same thing, just repeating it, and that truck came back down onto its wheels. I believe that there is power in his name, just calling out to his name. Okay, Jesus himself said that whatsoever we ask the Heavenly Father in his name, that we would receive that. Right? Okay, well, that name, I'm jumping ahead. Let me tell you another one about Peter and John. Some of you guys remember when they were going into the temple to pray, there was a guy that was laying there. He was lame and was asking alms of the people that were going into the temple. And he looks up at Peter and John and says, you know, holding his cup up kind of thing, saying, can I have something from you? And Peter turns to the man, and in Acts 3:6, it says that Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Okay, and he used the name of Jesus. That means all that he stands for in Jesus' name, the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And we know that that man not only got up, but he leaped up and praise God in the temple with them. Just went in praising and leaping God, giving all the glory to him. Okay, another time in the book of Acts, it talks about the Apostle Paul and his companions. There was a woman that was possessed with a demon that was following after him and mocking them and teasing them. And after a little bit, Paul decided he had enough. And he turned to the demon, okay, the demon that was in the woman, and he used that powerful name of Jesus to set that woman free. Verse 16:18 here says, this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, finally turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very same hour. Okay, God has given Jesus a name that is above all else. And because of that, it is a powerful name to know and to use and to believe. Praise God. I might need to use the name of Jesus on my computer. It just went to a blue screen and gave a bad message. So I'll continue on. When I can. Amen. So let me think about the next scripture. What is the next scripture we have in there? Okay, talking about the name of Jesus and what it is. His name, here's how it was come about, and here's what came in his life. It says the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, he was minded to put her away privily or privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Hey, now we know the name Jesus comes back from all the way into Hebrew. It came from a Hebrew word of, anybody know? Yeshua, right? It came from the Hebrew word of Yeshua. All the way from the beginning, God was setting it up so that we would know what Jesus was here to do. It was to save his people from their sins. Okay, obviously we needed to be saved from our sins, right? The Bible says that there was it says there's a barrier between us and God, and that Jesus was sent for that purpose of removing that barrier so that we could then be with him. If I can get this back up again. Anybody have any testimonies you want to share while we wait? Thank you for that. That's perfect timing. So knowing that Jesus, we'll get back into this, knowing that Jesus was appropriately called the Christ, okay, he was also called the Messiah and referred to as the Anointed One, okay, God had determined to show you and I and the rest of the world from the very beginning why he sent him. Okay, he was going to save his people and deliver them. That verse 1 that we read, or 21 we read a few minutes ago, told us what we needed saving from, and that would be that sin and sin barrier. Psalm 105:1 says, to give thanks unto the Lord and call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Psalm 116:13 says, to take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Isaiah 12:4 says that in that day you shall say, praise the Lord and call upon his name. Are you guys following along? Call upon his name and declare his doings among the people and make mention that his name is exalted. Okay, and that's what we're doing this morning. We are exalting the name of the Son of God, the name of Jesus. Romans 10:13 says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, it is that powerful that it takes that reference to the name of Jesus, believing on him and what he has done on our behalf. Many will try to call upon their own name, okay, and they'll try to save themselves from their sin. Okay, they try to make themselves right with God or clean enough, but it is literally impossible to do it without the name of Jesus. Okay, in verse Matthew 1:22. It says that all these things were done, talking about the way that he came up with the name Jesus, as the angel had talked to him. It said, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, he did exactly as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took unto him his wife, and he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Okay, here in this verse or this passage, Jesus is referred to with that descriptive name of Emmanuel, okay, which literally means God with us, right? Okay, God with us. It tells us that not only who was sent and why he was sent, the name of Jesus being he shall save his people. Okay, it tells you not only who was sent and why he was sent, but it also tells you how he will save us. Okay, God himself has come to dwell among us, and literally to dwell in us, okay, as his people. And to make it even better, he was not just here 2,000 years ago, but he is here yet today as well, still living right here, right now within us. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says that you are the temple of the living God. Okay? As God had said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Okay? He said that he would never leave us nor forsake us. Jesus came with an ideal purpose, and he's not going to lose sight of that purpose. He is going to fulfill what he came for. Therefore, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Okay, he didn't go through all the stuff that he went through and the life and the death and the resurrection and all that suffering that he went through on our behalf. He didn't do for no reason. He did it for a very specific person or purpose, and that being for your salvation, for your eternal life, and for your life here on earth. Okay, he is with you right here and right now and for all of eternity as well. So we don't have a Savior that doesn't know what it's like, in other words, to live in this broken world. Okay, it's a fallen world that fell, and those that believe on can be redeemed or come back to the place of walking hand in hand with God, and he with us and us with him. But there is still the fallen world, the broken world that is right around us. Okay, he knows how it was like to live in that world because Jesus came as fully God and as fully man, able to go through all the same sufferings and the temptations and the afflictions and the things that you and I have to deal with. He went through that and experienced it, knowing how hard it was. Then he did it perfectly, flawlessly on our behalf. So him knowing how hard it was, he did it for us. Literally did it with us, but also did it for us, performing perfectly what God and his laws had demanded. So then we now have an advocate with the Father. We have someone that is on our side with God that says, this is my beloved son as well. Bring them on in. And he's with us to keep us going in that right direction. So now we can come boldly and confidently to God for all that grace and the unmerited favor that we deserve or that we need. Hebrews 4:14 says this, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but he was in all points tempted like as we are, and yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and have grace to help in time of need. You know, the name of Jesus also, many places they called him our Savior, the Savior of the world. The Bible dictionary defines a Savior as the one who saves from any degree or any form of evil. In its highest sense, that word indicates the relationship that is sustained by our Lord to his redeemed ones, for he is their Savior. Okay, God sent Jesus to be the Savior of the world. 1 John 4:14 says, we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So then we then are simply called to believe on the name of the Son of God. In John chapter 3, he said that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, simply because he has not believed in the name of the Son of God. Okay, the only begotten Son of God. We know that Acts 4:12 says that there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. It is that powerful of a name. It is Jesus. It is what he came to do. 39 times in the Old Testament, it refers to the coming of the Christos, okay, or the coming of the Messiah. Okay, Christos simply means the anointed one. Okay, they knew that he was called to come. They knew that he was coming. That's what they were foretelling of. And then all of those prophecies were then fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Okay, as he lived his birth, life, death, and resurrection, Yeshua Christos, or Jesus Christ, fulfilled the prophecies. Jesus was described perfectly by John the Baptist as the Lamb of God. Anybody remember that? I think John 1:29, as Jesus is walking towards him, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He knew instantly this was Jesus, right? He shall save his people from their sins. He knew that this was the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Okay, the perfect, unblemished male Lamb of God was sacrificed on our behalf to set us free, to help us to be, to make us right with God. In that one offering of himself on the cross, he fulfilled all the offerings that were required by God to make us right with him. Jesus did that for us. The will of God is that in Jesus Christ, all the fullness of salvation would dwell. He put everything into one basket. In Hebrews 10:10, it says, "By the which will," or "by the will of God, we are then sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." He did it once for all. Okay? Through his name, we have been washed clean, and through his name, you have been justified. Through his name, you have been sanctified or set apart unto God. Through the name of Jesus, if you have called upon his name, then you are then set apart. You're all these things. You're sanctified and made right with God, made special with through your faith in him and his name. Okay, Jesus is also referred to as the Holy One, okay, or the Just One. He is absolutely holy and just and perfect in all of his ways. And as such, he is entirely faithful and trustworthy. Okay? Now we tend to, I don't know if you guys know anybody like this, but sometimes people don't always say or do what they said they were going to do. Okay? Sometimes people don't always live up to what they said, or you know, they do something that's out of line or whatever. We don't have that with our Savior. He is the Almighty God, but he is perfect in all of his ways. He is so trustworthy that we can rely on him for anything and everything, fully giving ourselves unto him, knowing that it's going to be okay. Okay? Because he is holy and just. Okay? So you can fully submit to him without question. There's no reason to hold back. There's no reason to say, "I don't want to give all of myself to him." And we can do so then without hesitation, because he is perfect, never steering you wrong, always having your best interest in mind. He absolutely has the best in store for you. His name also, Jesus, includes being called the Redeemer. Okay? To redeem simply means to buy back. It's kind of like if you take something to a pawn shop and you pawn it. Okay, they now have possession of it, but you can go and redeem it. You can go and buy it back. Well, Jesus, because of his pure, holy self, could go and purchase us back from the clutches of the enemy and bought us back so that we could now be right with God and live a life that is free from sin and a life that glorifies God. In Titus chapter 2, it says they're looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us so that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Jesus' name includes him also being the bread of life. Okay, the bread of life. John 6:35 says that Jesus said to them simply, "I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst." Again in John 6:47, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me has everlasting life, for I am the bread of life." Jesus tells us plainly that it is he that satisfies. Okay, passionately pursuing Jesus doesn't mean that you have to give up things, but rather it means that you will gain everything. Okay, the Bible tells us that through his divine power, he has given us and blessed us with all things that pertain unto life and godliness. It's all in Jesus. That was God's plan for you. Everything that you need for the very best life possible on this earth and in eternal life comes from Jesus. Okay, partaking of Jesus as much as possible then will just continue to make your life better and better and better. Jesus means that His name means that he is the resurrection and the life. As he spoke to Martha, you remember her brother Lazarus had passed away, and he tells her in John 11:25, he says unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? Okay, do you believe this? Do you believe that in Jesus is the life everlasting? Do you believe that in him is the satisfaction of all that God wanted to give you? In him is all the things that he wants to pour into your life. Through Jesus and faith in his name, we are made whole, okay, complete and whole. Through faith in his name, we effectively die to the old man, that old carnal nature, and we're raised to a new life in Christ. Romans 6:4 says that we are buried with him by baptism into death. And that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should now walk in newness of life. It's the new birth. It's the new creation that God has made you. Jesus himself said that he was the only way to God, right? John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. Okay, the beginning and the ending. It means that he is all-encompassing. Revelation 21:6, he said, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. Okay, Jesus was not born and then laid in a manger as a little baby to be a cute little baby for the rest of his life. We tend to think of that sometimes at this time of year. But he was born to live out his life as the Son of God, as the Savior, as the Messiah, as the Anointed One, as the Just One, as the all these things that I've been going through. That is what he did. He came to live out that life and create that name that is above all names. Okay, from the very beginning to the very end, he was sent to be your everything. Everything in between was meant to be filled by him. John 20:31, as I wrap this up, says, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Okay, Jesus' name is so powerful that it not only implies who he is, it not only tells us who he is and what he's done and what he stands for, but when we receive him and his name and all that he stands for and all that he is, your life will literally never be the same. That is who we believe on, and that is who we call out to. This is who saves us. This is who lives here with us now. This is who is our Savior and our Redeemer right here and now. Amen. Father God, we're praising you this morning, thanking you that your life was given for us, that you laid down your life, that we can simply take up the cross, meaning we can believe on you and what you did for us on the cross. Lord, that by calling out to the name of Jesus and all you stand for, that we now have eternal life with you, that we walk in newness of life, in the fullness of the gospel, that good news that Jesus came to give us. Father, we're in love with you, and we're grateful for that love that you have for us. I pray that you create in us that clean heart for any that have strayed or stepped aside, Lord, that they know that they can come unto you, the Savior. They can come unto you, the one that justifies, redeems, the one that buys them back and sanctifies and sets them apart. Lord, that in all these things that we can come unto you as our Savior. You are the beginning and the end. You are our all-encompassing satisfaction, that everything that we need is in you, Lord. Pour it out into our life and let us leave here with a knowing inside of who you are and how great you are and what you have now done in us. Father, we're praising you and giving you the thanks for it. In Jesus' precious name, we say amen. 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 Come up. Hang on just a minute. Oh, you can go ahead.